Will you turn to Matthew 5, please? Matthew chapter 5. We're going to talk about the Beatitudes today. Matthew 5, verses 3 to 10. Picture Jesus sitting on a hillside, quite high up, with his disciples sitting around him, and a much larger crowd behind the disciples. So the Sermon on the Mount answered a question that Peter and Andrew and James and John must have had. What have we gotten ourselves into? We left our boats and nets to follow this Jesus, but what does that mean? What does it mean that we follow Jesus? And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus answers that question. And for us, it answers a similar question. Jesus is not walking around on our streets anymore. He's not asking people to come follow him the way he did then. But God's Spirit has called us and brought us to the Lord, and we also want to follow the Lord. So our question is, how can I be a follower of Jesus when he's not here to get up and follow? So the Sermon on the Mount answers that for us. Jesus still calls us today to be disciples, to follow him, and this is how we do it. Do you want to follow Jesus? Live this way. This is how we do it. The eight Beatitudes are really just talking about one kind of person, one person, and one blessing. As we read the Beatitudes, don't think of eight different kinds of good behavior with a separate blessing for that behavior or attitude. These are eight descriptions of one kind of person, a follower, the kind of person that God is using Jesus to bless and help. So the poor in spirit and the ones who mourn and the merciful and the pure in heart and so on are all different ways of talking about any person who decides to follow Jesus. Any person who wants the good news. And they are not eight different rewards either, but only one. The reward is the kingdom of heaven. John the Baptist preached that the kingdom of heaven has come near. That was in Matthew 3. And Jesus preached the same. The kingdom of heaven has come near. That's early in chapter 4. So the kingdom of heaven is at the center of what Jesus preached. And the first and last of these eight end with, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So these blessings in between are just really different ways of describing only one blessing, the kingdom of heaven. So the other blessings, like being comforted or receiving mercy or inheriting the earth or seeing God, they all just tell us more about having the kingdom. Each blessing just fills out what it means to have the kingdom of heaven. And blessed means good news from God. So just a few verses before this, late in Matthew 4:23, we read, "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom." Proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. So remember what we read last week from Isaiah 40 and Isaiah 52 and 61, that God would come and do a great work to comfort and restore his people. So Jesus preached that. That's the good news of the kingdom. And what we call the Beatitudes are Jesus preaching the good news of the kingdom. These are exactly the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached. Let's read. "Good news from God for the poor in spirit. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Good news from God for those who mourn. You will be comforted. Good news from God for the meek. You will inherit the earth. Good news from God for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You will be filled. Good news from God for the merciful. You will be shown mercy. Good news from God for the pure in heart. You will see God. Good news from God for the peacemakers. You will be called children of God. Good news from God for those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Yours is the kingdom of heaven." For people who want God, that's the thing, for people who want God, this really is good news. This is the real good news. Jesus announced that God is going to help miserable people. God is going to put His great love into action. Good things are coming from God, and things that make a big difference in real lives. Several of these Beatitudes describe people who cannot help themselves, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness but cannot make it happen. They're lost, miserable, helpless. Good news from God for people like that. But the people who take this help and who receive this kingdom also treat other helpless people the same way. That's part of the deal. So this kingdom, I should also say, is both present and future. Remember that. The kingdom is ours now, but there's still a lot of it to come. God is active now, and He has huge blessing for us that we cannot imagine that are part of the kingdom future. So the good news takes some time, people. When God decided to rescue Israel from Egypt and called Moses at the burning bush, it took a while before Israel actually got out of Egypt. And at first, their lives actually got worse because Pharaoh made them work harder even than before. And after that came the 10 plagues. And so life was tense for them after Moses came, but before they got out of Egypt. And after that, they had some troubles in the wilderness too, didn't they? Still, here's the thing. It was a very real plan of God to make their lives a lot better. And the Beatitudes are like that. So the plan is already entirely in place. The plan is as real as it ever will be. But it takes a while until God's plan comes to harvest. And so the Beatitudes describe how people live and act now, how people stand before God now because they love God and they want His kingdom. But what is the kingdom? What does that mean, actually? The kingdom of heaven means basically the same thing as salvation or eternal life. They're sort of interchangeable terms. In Matthew's story of the rich young ruler, in Matthew 19, these different phrases are used interchangeably in that story. Inherit eternal life. Enter life. Enter the kingdom of heaven. Enter the kingdom of God. And be saved. Those five are all used talking about the same thing. So receiving the kingdom, receiving salvation, receiving eternal life are much the same thing. So let's start. The first beatitude is in Matthew 5:3. Good news from God for the poor in spirit. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 9, Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. The poor in spirit are those who have nothing to offer God, and we know it. We are helpless before God, and we know that. And we come to God like that. That is such an important place to start. These people can have the kingdom, and this is present. Jesus does not say they will inherit the kingdom or will enter the kingdom, but theirs is the kingdom. It's ours now. It's offered to the poor in spirit. We only use kingdom in the Bible or else in fairy tales. Kingdom was like our word for nation or country or government. So heaven's nation has come close. Heaven's country, heaven's government, heaven's domain. It puts a different flavor on things, doesn't it? Our citizenship is in heaven and we're waiting for a champion from there. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul writes in Philippians 3. So for kingdom, we should understand a little different word like nation or government or domain. So we understand that what God is starting, here's the thing, what God is starting through Jesus competes with much of what we see around us. Our world is not like the Beatitudes. And God is now actively building His realm and His domain. And we, His people, in our lives with each other, with His Spirit in our midst, are His kingdom outposts. So good news from God for you who are poor in spirit. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Good news for the losers, the spiritual beggars who want God. You are in God's nation. Good news for helpless sinners who want God. He's got a kingdom for us. Welcome to God's kingdom. Good news from God for you who mourn. You will be comforted. This comes directly from Isaiah 61, which we covered last week. So those who mourn in Isaiah 61 are not just anyone who is sad. They mourn because they're suffering for their sins, and they know they are sinners, and so they mourn before God. They're sad because they are poor in spirit, they've been punished for their sins, and they're helpless before God. And God has decided to comfort people like that and restore them. He's coming to make it right. So before God, we are poor. And before God, we mourn. And God comforts us by bringing good news. He brings us into His kingdom, His empire, His domain, His family. He brings comfort. The third one, good news from God for you who are meek. You will inherit the earth. This line is a direct quote from Psalm 37. Psalm 37 opens, "Don't fret because of evil people. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do it. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him." This is what meek is. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath, it says, still in Psalm 37. That's who the meek are. They refrain from anger and they turn from wrath. In Psalm 37:10, it says, "A little while and the wicked will be no more." And in verse 11, it says, "But the meek will inherit the earth." And that's the line Jesus quotes in this third blessing. The meek will inherit the earth. So the meek are those whose lives are oppressed by evil people, but they put themselves in God's hands. So it's the opposite of the wicked. The meek are the people who trust in God and do good instead of getting angry and getting even. God will take away the wicked and give the earth to the meek. So this includes a temperament that's always gentle. Now, all those who cannot find in themselves to fight for their rights, they just don't have it in themselves to argue and go after these things. You will inherit the earth, says the Lord, and that's a remarkable thing. But it also means those who want to angrily punish the evil people, but instead of doing evil, we turn away and we choose to stand before God in submission to God. We trust in Him and wait on Him to fix what's wrong and make the world a right place. Meek is hard to do, and it is not popular in our society. Our heroes are strong. They put up with a little bit, and then they get even. But Jesus was gentle like this. He says He was meek and lowly of heart. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Good news from God for you who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You will be filled. The meek person turns away from anger and wrath and does not fret about wicked people. The meek person decides to wait on God and trust in God. But that means the meek person wants God to make things right. God, I'm waiting for you to make things right. So this will include calling out to God for justice. That's part of hungering for God to make things right. So hungering and thirsting for righteousness is also wanting God to help us, wanting God to make us right. Just a little later in this sermon, in 5:20, Jesus says that unless our righteousness goes beyond that of the Pharisees and law teachers, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So righteousness here does include our own sinfulness and righteousness. We want to be righteous, and we're not. Good news for you who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The good news is that God helps people be righteous. Those who hunger and thirst to be right with God, right before God, will be filled. God will fill us. God will satisfy us. We are hungry to be right and we can't do it. Good news. God will feed and satisfy us. Near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened." And then He says it all another way. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. To everyone who knocks, the door is opened. What do you think Jesus is talking about? The big screen TV? An iPhone 55? A fast car? A big house? No. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching us the kind of righteousness that God cares about. Are you having trouble with the kind of righteousness God cares about? Ask for it. Are you having trouble being meek? Seek it from God. Are you having trouble being merciful? Knock on God's door. Good news. For you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be satisfied. But people, like most other things, don't expect God to be in a hurry just because you and I are. He usually thinks he's got quite a bit of time for this. Still, hunger and thirst for God to make everything right, you will be filled. And also remember the Lord's Prayer, which is in the Sermon on the Mount. Forgive us our sins. The followers of Jesus need forgiveness from God, and that's a daily prayer. We need it every day. Those who inherit the kingdom need forgiveness every day, and they need to forgive others every day. Good news from God for you who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You will be filled. Number 5, good news from God for the merciful. You will be shown mercy. Okay, remember here that all 8 of these describe a disciple, a person who wants God, a person who God has decided to bless. So, good news for the merciful, you will be shown mercy. We are helpless before God. We are helpless either to be righteous or to make our lives better, and so we are merciful to others. We need mercy, so we're merciful. Because we are poor in spirit, and because we mourn the mess we are in, when others do wrong to us, we're generous with them. We give to others what God has given to us. God's kingdom is merciful. God does not punish our sins, but he kindly forgives us. And so we are meek. We don't get even when others sin against us. So by our mercy toward the sins of others, we bring God's mercy down on our sins. But there is another side to this. We usually think of God's mercy toward us as forgiveness of sins. And that's true. But in Psalms, God's mercy is often help and rescue. Psalm 9, Lord, see how my enemies persecute me. Have mercy and lift me up from the gates of death. Psalm 28, hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help. Psalm 40, don't withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. Have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. So that's exactly what these Beatitudes are. So mercy can be forgiveness of sins, but it can just be helping somebody in trouble. So that's what these Beatitudes are. Okay, God is kindly coming to rescue the poor in spirit and rescue those who mourn and rescue the meek who don't stand up for themselves. He offers his kingdom to spiritual beggars. And we're glad God has good news for us, as we should be. And so we will be merciful to others. We will be good news for others. Blessed are the merciful. Good news from God for the merciful. You will be shown mercy. Good news from God for the pure in heart. This is the 6th one. You will see God. Good news from God for the pure in heart. You will see God. Pure in heart means genuine before God. People that truly want to seek God and love him and serve him. And there's much of that in this church. Lots of it. Pure in heart probably has in mind Psalm 24. That's what Jesus will be thinking. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. To contrast, there are people around, and sometimes in the church, who do not actually care about God himself. They like something about the atmosphere, they like the people, maybe there's something else, but there's actually very little energy for God. That's not pure in heart. God likes it when people want him. Do you want him? God likes it when people want him and they're willing to put that in action. Avoid too much self-examination here. Don't overthink. Pure in heart. May some Christian teachings want us to chase down every bad thought and desire, everything that's selfish. Different psychological studies sometimes also muddy the water here. People in Bible times did not know about those Christian teachings or those psychological studies. We either want God or we don't. And if we want God, it shows in our lives. And if we don't want God, we're not showing it in our lives. It's, in the Bible, it's very simple. Two times, Psalm 26 says, "Deliver me, Lord, for I lead a blameless life. Deliver me, Lord, for I lead a blameless life." We could never tell God that we have a blameless life, not because we're worse than the people that psalm was written for, but because certain Christian teachings and our habit of introspection have taken away the joy of the Lord. And that is too bad. Pure in heart just means those who want God and they know it. And they're willing to serve him and be faithful to him because they want him. Okay, that's what it means. Those who want God and they know it, they want to serve him and be faithful, they want him. They are nowhere near perfect, but they are pure because they want God and their lives do show it. God can see it when we have that. And you know what? We will get God. We will see God. Good news from God for the pure in heart. You will see God. You want God? You will get God. It says in Revelation 22, we will see his face. Good news from God for the pure in heart. You will see God. Now, don't overthink this one. Enjoy it. Good news from God for the peacemakers. You will be called children of God. Good news from God for the peacemakers. You will be called children of God. Later in this chapter, Jesus will say that if our brother or sister has something against us, we should go to them and make it right with them. That's making peace. A little farther, still in Matthew 5, Jesus calls us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, that we may be children of our Father in heaven. That's making peace. Jesus does not mean making peace by helping other enemies make peace with each other. Being a peacemaker is not a peace negotiator. That's good too, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. Peacemakers are those who have their own offended brother or sister or their own enemies, and they treat their own enemies peacefully. They reconcile with their own enemies to the best of their ability. And this again builds on earlier blessings. We offended God and he gave us the kingdom. He came peacefully to us. God came to us while we were enemies, and he reconciled with us. And so we are merciful to those who wrong us. We are meek when there are wicked people around, and we treat our enemies courteously and kindly. And in that way, we make peace. Good news from God for the peacemakers. You will be called children of God. Good news for those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. This is the last one we'll cover. The kingdom of God that Jesus brings is God's new nation, God's new government, God's new empire. And when we become citizens of God's new nation, we sometimes clash with the world we live in. It's hard to believe that following the Sermon on the Mount could get us in trouble, but in fact it can. So we don't have persecution in a way that some other countries in the world have it. But we do have it. In Canadian society, to be a wholehearted servant of the God of the Bible, to love and trust that God with all our might, and to call Jesus our Lord, is often at least foolish and mistaken. And in some cases, it makes you a threat, seem a threat to peaceful society. Such people can be seen as dangerous to the good of society. In the ninth beatitude, which we're not looking at, which is just an expansion of the eighth, Jesus calls insults a part of persecution. And that certainly can happen to those who are determined to follow Jesus. Employment can get disciples in trouble too. In order to perform properly at different jobs, people need to lie a little bit, or steal, or cheat in some way. I've heard enough stories like this over the years from believers in what we would call respectable Canadian jobs. And competitive sports can also be incompatible with these beatitudes. So, taking all these blessings as describing the true child of the kingdom, this last one means that we will want God enough to follow these even when it gets us in trouble. And it means we believe that Jesus is the promised announcer of the kingdom and we will leave all to follow him. And so these beatitudes altogether show what kind of people inherit the kingdom and what we've said yes to when we decided to follow Jesus. And to the crowds behind the disciples who were listening in, it was an open invitation to believe that Jesus really was bringing God's rescue, God's favor, God's good news to troubled, desperate people, and for them to join him. And so they also are invited to be poor in spirit and merciful. And he's still saying, follow me. And this is basically the package. This is the core of the package. So a few points in summary here. Take all the Beatitudes to describe the same person, one person. Jesus invites us to be a Beatitude person. And take all the blessings to mean some disparate, different aspect of yours is the kingdom. They're all saying some different side of yours is the kingdom. So all the blessings are just different sides to entering the kingdom, being saved, inheriting eternal life. And they all describe a follower of Christ receiving the good news, one central kindness from God, we receive the kingdom of God. Secondly, these Beatitudes are not just a quaint introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. These Beatitudes form the core of the whole Sermon on the Mount. The rest of this sermon does not go in a different direction. It builds on this foundation. So the Beatitudes are the foundation and the core of the whole Sermon on the Mount. The rest is just expansion. Number three, the Beatitudes are the gospel, the good news. When we receive Christ and give our lives to him, when we repent and believe the message about Christ, this is where he takes us. Good news from God for the poor in spirit, good news from God for those who mourn, good news from God for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. But they cannot be separated from the response. Good news from God for the merciful, good news from God for the meek, good news from God for those who make peace with their offended sister or brother. So accepting the good news and receiving the kingdom means we will act toward people as God is acting toward us. And these Beatitudes all together are the good news. They are also the narrow gate to life, and they are the steep path. This is not easy. It is not easy, but remember, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. And remember that God is entirely prepared to forgive our sins every day. It never occurred to him that it would be any other way. I'm going to read these once more, and then we'll pray. Good news from God for the poor in spirit. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Good news from God for those who mourn. You will be comforted. Good news from God for the meek. You will inherit the earth. Good news from God for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You will be filled. Good news from God for the merciful. You will be shown mercy. Good news from God for the pure in heart. You will see God. Good news from God for the peacemakers. You will be called children of God. Good news from God for those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, there's a lot of good news here. There's hope for the poor in spirit and for the spiritual beggars. What we really want is you, God. What we really want is you. And I assume receiving the kingdom means what we really get is you. We want to see you. We want to have you. We want you to have us. We want to be yours. And this is the good news path to you that you have given us. And so it's the path for spiritual beggars, and we want it. Oh God, I've been on this path a long time, and so have most of those praying along with me. I do not impress myself very much here. I'd like to start over every day. God, we want to live this way. We want you, and you're telling us we can have you. So God, we're in. With your Spirit, build these all into our minds and souls and our words and actions. Because, O God, we want you. Amen. Will you stand, please, for the benediction? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.